Now, sometimes the world of science is stranger than fiction. The Australian Science Media Centre has compiled the best of the year, a top 10 of the weirdest science stories to come out of 2025. Dr. Joseph Milton is the senior news lead at the centre. He joined me earlier.
Hi, Barbara. Great to be here.
Let me start, if I could, with one of my favourites, which involves dolphins accessorizing. Tell us about that one.
Yeah, that's right, Barbara. So this was in October, and scientists over there in WA spotted some pretty stylish dolphins sporting sea sponge wigs on their heads. And they're not doing it to help with fishing. They're not doing it to camouflage themselves. They're doing it to try and attract a mate, so to woo the ladies, because apparently nothing says date me quite like an obvious ill-fitting wig.
I mean, that is just incredible, isn't it? I mean, where would they get, I guess, the, you know, what's the scientific explanation of how that evolved?
Well, it's an interesting thing about marine mammals is that they've got this kind of element of culture, and that includes getting into fads. So we know, for example, that killer whales sometimes like to wear dead salmon on their heads. And there's also been stories of dolphins doing the same thing as this, but with sea grasses as well. So it's a little bit like one of them does it, and the rest of them have a look at that and think, well, I'll have some of that. And it catches on, a bit like fads and cultures do with us. So probably just a, you know, kind of temporary thing, but sea sponge wigs are the thing at the moment.
How long is temporary in dolphin life? Are we talking a few months, a few years?
I'd imagine probably, you know, a few months to a year, something like that. But I'm not quite sure, to be honest.
Now, this next one might make some people a little squeamish. It's the story of a man who injected himself with snake venom, not once, not twice, but tell us, Joe, how many times?
856 times, Barbara. And yes, if you're thinking, why? Well, so am I.
Well, we don't know.
We don't know why he did it, presumably to kind of try and build immunity. But, you know, he'd actually injected himself with the venom from 16 different species of venomous snake. And he'd done that at doses that would normally kill a horse. But by that point, he'd been exposed so many times through his unique hobby that he'd kind of developed this hyper immunity. So a little bit of a weird one, but it actually turned out to be really, really useful because US scientists were able to use his blood to cook up a kind of one-bite-fits-all anti-venom using his antibodies. So they put together an antibody cocktail. It had some of those antibodies in it. They also chucked in a drug or two and then tested them on mice. And this cocktail protected the mice against 13 of the 19 snakes that they tested. And it partially protected them against the other six. So pretty effective, and it's currently being tested in Australian dogs because, of course, every year, snake season, some of our best friends get bitten. So it's an important kind of place to have an anti-venom. And eventually, we're hoping, of course, it's going to work for us too.
And he'd started, presumably, with very low doses.
That's right, yeah. And he'd built it up so that he could gradually develop immunity to these venoms.
Where was this guy? He was in the States.
Wisconsin, yeah, only in America.
And he'd been also, I would imagine, documenting it if he knows 856 times he's done this.
Yeah, well, if your listeners want to check him out, he's called Tim Freed, F-R-I-E-D-E, and he's got a YouTube channel documenting all this stuff.
You're listening to Radio National Breakfast. My guest is Dr. Joe Milton, the senior news lead at the Australian Science Media Centre, and we're talking about the year's weirdest science stories. The last one I was going to pick up on is this one about colour and scientists discovering a new colour.
That's right. This was back in April, and again, it was scientists in the US, and they introduced us to a completely new colour, but it's one that unfortunately you will never be able to see, because you can only see this colour if they are firing lasers into your eyeballs.
So how do we know it exists then?
Well, we've got the accounts from the five people who had lasers fired into their eyeballs so that they could see this new colour. It's called Olo, and yet you can't see it unless you've got this special gadget called Oz. And this maps the colour sensing cells called cones in the eye. And it uses tiny laser pulses to zap them individually. Now, to produce Olo, this new colour, it focuses on what are called M cones. And those are the cells that detect green colours. Now, normally, those would never be stimulated on their own. You'd have some M cones, some of the other colour cones being stimulated at the same time. So they were having a look at what happens if you just stimulate those particular green-detecting cells. And it produces this strange and unique kind of very, very oversaturated color. So a little bit like turquoise, probably. One of the people who's seen it described it as a blue-green of unprecedented saturation. Mm. So it's essentially turquoise, but it's so intense and vivid that it kind of scrambles the brain a bit and it doesn't look real.
Will there ever be a time when that color, I guess, exists?
I'm afraid it's very unlikely. You're not going to be sort of picking it up and doing your feature wall in it, unless you're also prepared to invest in lots of high-tech laser gadgetry for anybody who wants to look at that. So, at the moment, it's only possible to see it with this very specialised equipment. It's not really like a normal colour. Normal colours are just a mix of light wavelengths. But this is a whole new thing and one that you could never turn into paint or, you know, reproduce it on a screen or on a printer. So don't go looking for any pictures of Olo online.
Right, we'll just use our imagination. Jill Milton, thank you so much for joining me.
That's been a pleasure, Barbara.